lot of soul.
This is Bass Talk Live. Your host, Mark Jeffries and Matt Pangrack. BTL is brought to you by Lowrance. Strike King Lures, Bass Cat Boats, Ducket Fishing, Spro, AFCO, Sunline, and TH Marine. BTL coming at you. Good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome once again to BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that we want to talk about. Yes, he is back in studio once again. Bradley Hallman, Matthew Pangrack, and folks, we have a good show today. Right here, there is the list, Bradley. There is the list, Matthew. We're going to have Al McCullough on with the NPFL. He's going to announce the first 10 anglers in the 2021 field for the NPFL.
The National Professional Fishing League, the league that was announced. How long ago was that announced now? 6 months?
Yeah, something like
four?
That.
So they announced it, and then they gave it an entire year to get together a 125-boat field, a six-tournament season at a $5,000 entry fee, and then a championship at the end of the year, kind of targeting those anglers who, for lack of a better term, kind of fell through the cracks when it came to guys who are good enough to be on those trails.
Fell through the cracks. You understood what I mean, right, Bradley?
I think somewhat in business, I mean, things go where just like a water line, there's no hold up here. Like, you can sign up, you can be a part of this, and you can get in.
Yeah. That might have been a bad term.
What I mean is
guys who are good enough talent-wise and have the desire and the ability to fish at the Elite Series, the FLW Tour level, but for one reason or another, not on that.
Let me help you. It's a place that you can sit down at a $5,000 poker table and play the game.
There you go.
That's a good point, Bradley.
Yep.
All right, so good show today. We're going to get him on here in about 15, 20 minutes. I have a couple of news items for you guys. All right, the first one, I want to read a text that I received late yesterday from Mr. John Cox.
Oh, you got John Cox texting you.
Well, yeah.
He's name dropping like Jimmy Houston.
No, I'm not. I'm doing my job.
Did you think about reaching
out for John Cox and finding out, hey, dude, what are you going to do with the conflicting dates now?
Yeah.
Did you?
No.
Okay.
Well, you're testy this morning.
He said he had a special deal for us he hadn't talked
about. All right. So this is what John had to say. He says, I'm doing okay. I don't know what I'm going to do right now. Probably going to decide last minute.
You know what he has got to decide now, right?
Yeah. Which one is he going to go to?
Yeah.
FLW or the Elite Series because of the rescheduled Chickamauga.
But. Yeah. And let's just say he was really disappointed that they put the date on top of that date.
Yeah.
That is a pickle.
So, I'm sure he is.
That is a real pickle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he did say that he would let me know as soon as he decides so we can pass along the info and maybe get him on the show. But, yeah, he's a little upset. Can't blame him, dude. Guy's shelling out major cash to do both trails, and now he's got to decide. He is in a quandary.
There's no way, and I'm just throwing this out there, there's no way he can fish one day on one and then the second day on the other, so he gets points for each one. I mean, if he goes and blasts 30 pounds on day one of Chickamauga, and then he runs to the tour event and catches 20 pounds that next day, he finishes... Yeah.
Right.
50th at Chickamauga and then 80th at the tour event, and he salvages both events. Is that a possibility?
I don't know, man.
I don't know. I mean, look, it was. I'm sure it's hard on him. I'm sure when they saw that, he was like, I mean, how could you not be, right? I mean,
oh, I'm it all sure worked. He was
yeah.
Pissed.
Yeah. I'm sure he was like, damn, yeah, man.
He was very professional in his answer that he gave me, but still, I'm sure deep inside he's pretty upset.
Yeah.
He's sinking a lot into this thing, trying to do both, and now he's in a major quandary on a decision that's got to be made. I don't know, Matt, maybe he can pull that off.
I was just thinking, that's the only...
To fish one day at each event.
To fish one day at each event.
Yeah.
So that would be Lake Martin. Let's pull out the old Google, or let's pull out the Google Maps right here.
Oh, it's doable.
So Chickamauga, and it is Chickamauga. I heard someone from Tennessee set phonetically chick. Said it, the chick in the K chain.
Yeah.
So Dayton, right?
Yep.
Dayton,
Tennessee.
Tennessee to Alexander City, Alabama.
Yep. Matt's looking it up right now for the iTunes listeners.
That's a 3-hour and 45-minute drive.
Yep. Maybe, here's an idea. What if you caught 20 pounds in the first 2 hours? That chick, go in, hand them your bag, say, here's my fish for the day. 3 hours, you're going to have 3 hours left the first day to fish at Lake Martin.
Maybe.
Because they did let
Especially if you had some bedfish you could roll up on at Martin.
Oh, so Drew Benton, they did allow him
maybe.
For?
March 19th.
I don't know. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how this thing develops.
So you're saying he goes to Chick.
If you catch him in 2 hours.
Catches 20 pounds in 2 hours, weighs him in at like 9 a.m.
Yep.
Leaves.
Drives, puts his boat in at 1. There's 150. Let's say he's got a late flight with a 4:45 check-in because they're going all the way down to 4:45, 5 o'clock there. Then he's got 2.5 hours on Lake Martin. He's got bedfish marked there because he split his practice a day and a half each places. Runs and catches it. Dude, he could win both events on the same weekend.
No, at some point it's going to, you know, but you could get some points for the first couple of days doing it that way, possibly.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. He's going to let us know what's going on.
It would probably depend on which tournament director would allow you to weigh in at 9 a.m. is where you start.
Do you think the organizations would allow that?
I think that, I mean, some conversations with Tripp, you might be able to get something.
Wouldn't
like
it be a good PR move, Bradley?
Oh, yeah. I mean, would that not be the most interesting thing on
the
planet? You fish the Elite Series and the Pro Circuit in the same day.
Yeah. He's got his buddy Benji that he always travels with. Benji could just have the truck and trailer backed into the
water. Boat in the water, everything. He just runs.
Tom in Pennsylvania, he says it's in a different time zone, too, so he would get an extra hour.
Now,
even better.
Who owns FLW now?
What? Major League Fishing.
Boyd Duckett has a plane. He's talking about how he wants all this to work. What if Boyd had the plane set up, Cox fishes, they run him, they drop him off at the Dayton airport, boom, he's
actually
on the water.
That is the two boat deal is probably the way to do it. Yeah. Heck with backing one in. Just leave a boat in the water at Martin.
Ready to go.
I'm just saying if you started at Chick, because he's right about the Tennessee time, it would be on Eastern. So when you went back to Alabama, you'd gain another hour. So just bring in your fish. You could leave them in the live well with the tournament directors and leave your boat right there on the bank and they can weigh them. You jump in the truck with Benji and let Benji run you all the way to
Because it's really, instead of a 3.5 hour drive, it's really a 2.5 hour drive then. Because you're gaining that hour.
So you'd end up with 3 hours.
I think it'd be a great story. Massive story, in fact.
Well, you could fish till 10.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that whole morning deal.
Yep.
And then 11, you'd get there, you'd be fishing by 1.
Yeah.
And even if you had a 3 o'clock check-in, I mean, hey, you got a chance.
With the time difference, you got to start at Chick.
Yeah.
You have to start
at the later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll see. All right, I want to ask you guys something. It would be really, really cool to follow to see if he could pull that off. I did not notice this. I was doing some homework last night. Did you realize, Matthew, that Toyota is not the title sponsor of the Angler of the Year standings over on the Elite Series?
I did not notice that.
Yeah, and you know what else? There's no championship.
I did know that.
No championship, no title sponsorship. But the money is still there.
Yeah, I think that the championship, and I don't want to speak out of turn here, but I think that Angler of the Year championship might have been like an angler's decision.
You don't, but you don't know that for sure?
Yeah, because I know that they talked about there were so many of those guys that were in the middle group there who, even though it was a no entry fee tournament for them, were spending a lot of money to go up there, and they really couldn't fall out of the Classic or move up in the Angler of the Year points. They're basically spending $2,000 to go pick up a check.
How many years has Toyota been involved, though, from an Angler of the Year standpoint? Long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know what kind of tipped me off? I noticed that some of the guys had a different patch on their jersey at this last event.
I'm catching all sorts of stuff. I'm impressed, Jeffries.
Well, they've been
all
wearing that Toyota patch for a long time.
Forever. Right. And some of the guys are actually still wearing it because they haven't ordered new jerseys. Right. Or when they ordered the jerseys, they didn't know that this was going to be the case. So, I verified this with our contact at Bass with the Elite Series, and currently there is not a title sponsor for the Angler of the Year competition.
Now on the Opens, isn't it the Falcon Rods Angler of the Year? Yeah, here I'm looking at it right now. Falcon Rods Bassmaster Open Angler of the Year.
Yeah, but for the Elite Series, they do not have a title sponsor.
Huh.
And there is a new patch, and actually our contact, Emily, was going to send me an image to where I could actually show everybody, hopefully on Monday, on our show on Monday, and see that, Toyota is not involved, and I had no idea. Now, I think it was pure, and I did ask this question, that it was pure coincidence because of the situation where Toyota is now expending money on Major League Fishing and the BPT, that it just happened to be that way, that the decision was made not to sponsor the Angler of the Year competition over on the Elite Series. So, no title sponsor. First time in a long time. Do you remember what one of the sponsors of the Angler of the Year competition a long time ago that caused all kinds of issues and controversy? Had to wear the patch?
Oh, yeah, Busch.
Busch.
That's why some of the guys went to FLW.
Yeah, I do. And then that's what upset Jay Yellis and several other anglers. You know, hey, I'm not going to represent sponsor, is what the term was. So it'll be interesting. I mean, that is a highly marketable title sponsorship, I would think. So we shall see how things develop with them trying to get a company lined up, and maybe they're working on it now. Maybe they don't come into a title sponsorship opportunity until 2021. But for the first time in a long time, there is no title sponsorship for the Angler of the Year. Very, very interesting. All right. What else, Bradley?
Man, my mind is still on John Cox. It's going around. Like, I'm going to have to call him after the show because I think I've got ideas where that can work. Like Smokey and the Bandit type deal. I mean, that's a great idea.
You got to film that, though.
Absolutely.
You got to just pay the day rate for someone.
The problem,
to say,
what I got to thinking is like Chick, he won two events there last year. Like, how do you give that up?
It's a tough decision. It really is. Maybe he could pull that off. I don't know. I'm sure you're throwing.
But he's also
throwing
leading
ideas
the
out there.
Angler of the Year on the
circuit.
Pro circuit right now, and he's had a decent first Elite Series tournament.
It's just such an interesting deal, and I do think that it's possibly doable.
I really think it is, too. I think you could do a half day,
but
half
I think
day,
you're,
half day,
you're definitely
half
throwing
day.
Out your chance to win.
Yeah.
To win the tournament, but you're staying in it for the Classic and the Tour Angler of the Year.
But at the end of the day, if he stays, he's got a very good shot of winning, and it's $100,000.
Yeah. Either one.
Yeah. Okay.
That's more on the chick.
That's a pickle. Well, he can't. Well. I mean, he's leading the 150 angler field over on FLW. You can't win the Angler of the Year and miss one.
I'm just saying that it's doable. There's no doubt. The time change. That's a great comment coming in.
Yeah.
It's a doable deal.
All right. We'll see.
I wonder if he'd even thought about that.
I don't know. That's why I was like, we got to call him after the show.
I mean, we've got it pretty much figured out.
He's probably thought about it. You know, he probably has.
And if he doesn't have a vehicle sponsor, that'd be a Toyota get involved in that. They're involved with both sides.
Wow. All right. We'll see. All right. Bradley, good to have you here. Real quick, we have about a couple of minutes. Can you guys go into just very, very briefly – on what you and Matt are working on from a big bite bait standpoint and some of the creativeness that you guys are going to get the fans involved with, too, here at BTL. So talk a little bit about it.
So basically we were approached about designing a bait for big bite. And Matt kind of – we talked about different ideas that we had. And, of course, me being me, I wanted it to be some type of flipping bait if I'm going to design a plastic bait. And Matthew and I took some cameras, and we went up to Lucky Lure, which is a local tackle store that we have here in Oklahoma City. And we basically just looked at a whole bunch of different stuff and different ideas. And the one thing that we knew for sure, which is what ended up happening, right, was like everything – out there under the sun has been invented at some point. Like, you're not going to come up with something that no one's ever seen. And but we did pretty good, I think, when it was all said and done. The things that were important to me was a bait that is the word I'm always forgetting, Matthew, but I wanted it to be
versatile.
Efficient.
Efficient.
I wanted something that you could put on your hook and flip in a bush, or you could flip in grass in Florida, or you could flip in a willow tree to Grand Lake. Something that you could take coast to coast that was the right size, that would get bites, and would stay hooked up on your bait so that you're not always fixing it, it's not always ripping and tearing, and something that you could just use over and over and over. And we videoed all this, right? And and then we took that and then put it on. So Matthew and I are both handicapped when it comes to any artistic talents whatsoever. We have none. I can draw a stick man. So then, you know, you kind of come up with these different shapes and ideas that you like, but then you really have to put it down on paper. Well, I got very fortunate. I have a 15-year-old daughter who can draw, man. Like, I don't even know where she got it from. Like, my wife can't draw, I can't draw, but she can. She's unreal.
Cool.
And so I laid out what I kind of wanted and what I wanted it to look like, and I cut in pieces of plastic in different pieces and laid it down, and we got it down to – I mean, it was sharp drawing.
All right, so how are the viewers of BTL going to get involved in this whole thing?
There's a couple different things. You're going to be able to watch the whole process. So the key to this was, and Brad had never designed a bait for scratch and either die, but he, you know, I talk to Brad a lot, and Brad will get, sometimes he gets onto these like 2-hour deals about how things should be and stuff, but he had these like 3 different concepts. Like, I like this bait. This isn't a bait that always catches them, and this bait always catches them, and this bait always catches them. So we had to kind of figure out, like, come up with a need for it, because it's hard to just say, hey, design a bait. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have something in your head, so Brad had for some years kind of this stuff rolling around in his head, and this kind of was the opportunity that he was looking for to put it all together.
Absolutely.
So what you're going to be able to do is you're going to be able to watch the process from, okay, we're going to design a bait, and here's kind of the initial steps. You know, Brad's talking to his buddies who have designed baits in the past. He's on the phone with them. They're like, listen, man, if you hit like 1 out of 4 times, you're kicking butt like the rest of the times. Right. So it starts from, okay, this is what I like about the baits. Then it kind of goes, how about this? And then you send some stuff in, and then it comes back, let's change this. And then it goes back, and he changed this, and then this. So we're at the point now where we're going to get some of these prototypes of this big bite bait. And it's a flipping bait that is recognizable but totally different than anything that I've seen. So the cool thing that we did was took parts of everything that you like, but we didn't look at any other baits or try to build it off at other baits.
No, it's totally different than any other bait out there.
So Brad calls me one night, and I said, dude, I said, go on Tackle Warehouse and go to the Creature Baits at Craws and look through and see if there's anything. And he calls, he's like, dude, there's nothing like it. He's like, we got... So the BTL viewers are going to get a behind-the-scenes look through Brad's social media, his YouTube channel, through my what I'm doing on YouTube. And then there's a good chance, and we're working exactly how it's going to work out now, that BTL viewers are going to be possibly some of the first to get their hands on this bait and maybe even have a part in designing a color.
Yeah, we may have a BTL
specific color.
Do you have a name for it yet?
Yeah, do you want to say it yet, or do you
No, hang on to it. But I just wanted to know if you had a name for it.
I don't mind saying the name.
You got the go-ahead on the name, too?
No, I don't have the go-ahead on the name.
Then I would hold off.
All right.
I would hold off.
It's a good name.
It's a good name.
Is it?
It's one of those where you hear it and you go, ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay,
I like it.
So potentially then the BTL viewers can throw out some color choices?
You got it.
Okay.
And then we're going to try to decide and let them kind of choose a color and possibly have a BTL color.
All right. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be on your YouTube channel. It's going to be on the BTL.
Yeah, just a different kind of different perspectives of it. And then we'll put together an overall one. And on one of the BTLs, we'll kind of debut it. There's still, I'd say what it's about. I guess we haven't designed one before. What, halfway done, quarter done as far as the entire process? Yeah. I mean, we're to the part where Brad's waiting for the mold to be made and then him to get some prototypes of it.
Yeah. And then we're going to do some testing with it, underwater testing. We're going to do some of that with cameras, I think. That's what it's looking like. So you're going to see the whole layout of what is entailed in designing the bait.
All right. Very cool. All right. We're going to take a break here on a Wednesday. Come back with Al McCullough. The MPFL, the list is right here. Looking forward to it. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The ultimate fishing system starts with Lowrance HDS Live. Upgrade to HDS Live with a Ghost Trolling Motor, Live Sight Transducer, or Structure Scan 3D and get up to $500 cash back.
Yeah, you care about gear ratios, inches per turn, and ball bearings, but most importantly, you want reliability and dependability in the equipment you use. Luz doesn't cut corners when it comes to the gear they build. The new Speed Spool LFS is the best $99 reel in the market. Go see for yourself.
We've paired one of the most iconic hulls in the history of bass boats with a proven lineup of trusted accessories. We're bringing you best-in-class value and performance, leaving others in your wake. Turnkey value, turnkey performance. The Pantera 2 is an overachiever in the 19-foot category. Once you hit the throttle, you'll feel the rush, and there's no looking back.
Kevin, what are you doing here?
Oh, I'm just filling in for Billy.
I need 660 shad crankbaits in the Series 5 model.
We're out.
You're not out. You got all kinds of them right there.
We're out.
Kevin, I need six.
Have a lollipop.
I do not want a lollipop.
Have a lollipop.
Do you have it in sexy shad color?
At Duckett Fishing, we have assembled the top pros in the country to help us design rods to give you a competitive advantage.
Castability, strength, durability, action, sensitivity, weight and balance, and consistency.
Combine that with the best warranty in the industry, and you have rods that are pro-driven.
Duckett Fishing, pro-driven.
I want to share to you a new product we got coming out from Sunline. This is the FC leader size spools that we have now. We've gotten a lot of requests for this. A lot of you guys use fluorocarbon for leaders only, myself included. And one of the problems you have is when you have a 200 yard spool, that might last you 2, 3, 4 years. You might even lose it before you even get done with the spool. So we've gone to a little smaller spool. These are 50 yard spool sizes. You know, that way you're not holding your line on forever. You can keep your line fresh, use it when you can, stores real easily in the boat. We got all of our popular line sizes that you're used to with our Sniper from 5 to 14 pound. If you guys are looking for a line that you're only tying for a leader, go check out Sunline FC Leader 100% fluorocarbon and give it a try.
Blue Water by TH Marine. Offering LED lighting solutions for your boat, trailer, truck, ATV, and so much more. Engineered and built to be rugged with waterproof and submersible options. Designed for easy installation, Blue Water is available in a variety of colors and styles. All backed by a limited lifetime warranty. Blue Water by TH Marine.
The name Spro says it all. Spro stands for sports professionals. When you look at the pro staff that Spro has brought on board over the past 15 years, it's been pretty incredible. I mean, one got it just then. From the development of the Rock Crawler to the McStick, from the Fat Pop to the Little John series, when you tie a Spro bait on, you know it's been designed by a professional to get the job done.
While I travel the country on the Bassmaster Elite Series, I simply can't let the weather be the reason I don't win $100,000. That's why I use AFCO clothing to keep me warm, dry, and protected from whatever Mother Nature wants to throw at me. My season depends on it. My career depends on it. AFCO. Any fish, any water.
All of us on the Pro Tournament Trail use Gamigatsu hooks.
Why?
Because they are absolutely the best.
It's not about how many bites you get.
It's how many you put in the boat.
Gamigatsu makes hooks for every fishing style.
We didn't come this far to lose fish.
Did you?
For more information, visit gamigatsu.com.
The Big Bite Baits Kamikaze Swim On is a very unique bait, and it's got a full body, but with ribs to give it a bigger profile, but not more plastic. It's got a jointed tail that gives it a lot of action, as well as this up and down crawl type trail with holes and ribs in it, so it creates a bubble trail almost. This bait is supposed to be fished upside down or vertical like this on a great for a chatterbait. I prefer it on a swim jig as well. But you can also cut it down and put it on the back of a finesse jig. You know, flip it around for some spotted bass or flipping docks. Anytime you want a small, compact, you know, little trailer for it, this is great for it. So check out the full lineup of swim-ons at BigBiteBaits.com.
Back on a Wednesday, wrapping up the week. We are ready to go to our special guest, Mr. Al McCullough. And it was quite the discussion during the break about the John Cox situation. Yeah. So yeah. We're going to see if we can get a little bit more info on that. But it is time to talk about the NPFL. And let me get him queued up here. Al, you there, man?
I am here.
All right. Let me get the video queued up, man. Thanks for taking time out. I know you are a very, very busy man.
Yeah, the ownership group is a little busy these days, but that's part of life.
All right. Well, I have the list right here in my hands. And
all right.
Part of, obviously, why we wanted to have you on is there is a list of 10 names. And we would like for you to announce the first 10 names on the list for what you're going to have going on in 2021.
All right. Well, appreciate you guys giving us the time to announce the first 10 names out of the 125 field that we'll be announcing throughout the year. And with that being said, we want to congratulate all of these gentlemen right here that we're sending out invites to. We've already called them, notified them, and sent out their digital decks, their contracts, and their invite letter. So with that being said, we're going to start off with our Oklahoma angler, Sheldon Collings, our New Jersey angler, Pete Glushek, Arkansas angler, Josh Ray, Kentucky angler, Jimmy Gayhart, Georgia angler, Hunter Kenaway, Tennessee angler, Hensley Powell, Illinois angler, Garrett McDowell, North Carolina angler, Dylan Falk, Louisiana angler, Alec Heintz, and Georgia angler, Todd Goad.
They're all over the place, Al.
Absolutely. It's the National Professional Fishing League.
That is quite the mix, and obviously some recognizable names on that list. You know, obviously what you're offering, guys are interested, man.
Yeah, you know, since we talked last time, you know, going out and kind of doing the due diligence, talking to guys, being in the tournament circuit business regionally in the Missouri, Oklahoma, and Arkansas area, just, you know, kind of gathering data. And then with all of the organizational kind of conglomerates coming together and all that stuff, decided, hey, let's take a look at this. Got together with the ownership group back in October of 2019. Felt around talking to anglers from, like I said, across the country, found out that we had something, and then it's been game on for the last 4 months as far as resumes coming in, doing our due diligence, looking over these resumes, and then basically sending out the invites to the 125 that will be participating in 2021.
All right, what's going to be the process as far as announcing the remainder of the anglers? Obviously, the first 10, but what can you tell the fans about the next 115 anglers?
So what we're going to do is we're going to, every month, probably right around this time, basically, we're looking at March 15th, that we'll announce another 10, April 15th, another 10, so on and so on, until the entire field is out there. We want to keep this in front of everybody. Now, what we have done is we have notified all the anglers that are being invited to the National Professional Fishing League so they can get working on their finances, their sponsors, talk it over with their family members, see if this is a good fit for them. You're talking about a six-week commitment, and then if you make the non-entry fee 25 angler championship, that's a seventh week. So it's a big commitment, not only financially, but also on your family. So right now, the process for us is 10 names per month till the entire field is out there. Of course, we're starting off here with Bass Talk Live, and then we'll utilize the other media for the other names, so on and so on.
Very nice, man. I got to give you props for the Ralph Lauren pullover, though. Very nice.
Does anybody wear polo anymore?
Oh, I do.
I do. Years old.
These two don't.
No, I do.
But I do.
I wear it a lot.
He has a complete wardrobe of nothing but AFCO clothes. That's all he has, Al.
He says that like it's a bad thing.
I am not. Hey. I'm just explaining that I'm giving him props for wearing Ralph Lauren on a bass fishing show.
Hey, I tell you what, nothing but the best here. I was going to put on a suit and tie, but I thought it was a little over the top. We just went with the polo.
So I've been following the NPFL Instagram account there, and I noticed that there's been some posts from all over the place. You guys were just at Gunnersville having meetings, kind of alluding to things of the past. It's what we're about a 13 months away from the start, based on it, March 1st, 2021. How's the schedule coming together as far as that's going? Do you pretty much have an idea of what the venues are and have contacts with all of those communities?
Yeah, so the process right now, we want to capture the journey to keep people filled in like yourself. They can kind of see the process of it. You know, one of the things that we promise as an ownership group to the 125 field is we were going to stay away from Bass Open dates, whether it was the Central or the Eastern Division. We didn't want any of those anglers to basically take that opportunity away from them to qualify for the Classic. So that being said, kind of what we're doing right now in our process is the due diligence going down there. One of the unique aspects of our events is every weigh-in is going to be a trailered weigh-in. So looking at the optics, logistics of what you can do on site, whether it's at a state park, a local ramp, or whether you have to trail that boat down to, you know, a local Walmart, Menards, or some type of grocery store parking lot, whatever it is. It's basically just gathering all that information up so we can have that in a file and know where we're going to go and what's most viable for the trail. Now, I will tell you guys this. We don't have solid dates as far as locations and where these events are going to take place, but the way that the schedule will break down is if you're looking at a map of the United States, you go from Conroe and Houston up to Pool 8 and La Crosse down to Eufaula, Alabama, that triangle. Every year there'll be four events inside that triangle, that central region, so to speak. Okay. The reason being there, I mean, it's very obvious, probably 85% of the anglers are domiciled or live in those areas. So travel-wise will be, you know, conducive to them. Now, we do have Western, Northeastern, and Southeastern anglers. So the very first year, we're going to do four events inside that triangle, and then we're going to do two events in the Southeast. Then in 2022, we're going to do four events inside that triangle, and we're going to do two events out west. And then in 2023, we're going to do four events inside that triangle and two events up in the Northeast, and then reload. Go back to the Southeast, go back to the West, go back to the Northeast.
Okay, I want to make sure, because some of the fans are asking on the instant feedback, Al, the list of 10 that you announced, those are invitees, correct?
Invitees, correct.
Okay.
Until they sign the contract, they are invitees right now. We've given them the opportunity. We've had a conversation with them. We know that this is a big decision, so basically we sent them the package, and what we sent them was an invite letter, a contract, and then we're going to support our anglers. So we developed a digital deck to basically they can go into their sponsors and everything's right there in a PowerPoint or in a booklet they can print out. And basically it's going to give them everything that they need to know about the who, what, where, when, and why for the National Pro Fishing League.
All right, so are most of these invites coming from interest that has been generated by the angler, or are these invites specifically targeted by you and your staff?
I'd say it's a combination of both. Okay. You know, we put out the process to where, hey, if you're interested, if you feel that, you know, you want to jump to the next level from the BFLs and the COSAs, you know, the Anglers in Action, the Triple T Alabama Bass Trail, here's an opportunity for us. So send in your resume. So we did, we received these resumes, went through it for probably about 2 months. You know, there was a lot of back and forth from creating this list. And then there was also people that, you know, reached out as far as an interview process. Hey, I'm very interested. I want to do this. I want to do that. So you take that into consideration. Also, what you look at as far as the conversation goes when you have them on the phone, when you're interviewing them, and then basically getting back down to their data and what they've sent over in their resume, kind of gives us a feel of what they've accomplished in the past as far as their angling career goes.
From a timeline, and one of the things I know Jeffrey and I have talked about this is having the ability to actually have some time to work through things. What have been some of the hurdles that you've come across in the first 5 or 6 months kind of working for this? And then what are some of the things that get you're way ahead of schedule as opposed to where you thought you would be?
Well, the biggest hurdle's been the weather. Man, driving around all over God's green earth, man, it's just raining here, it's snowing there. We're actually leaving for Iowa here today to go up to Featherlight to put the final paperwork together for our trailer. But, you know, back down in Gunnersville last week, you know, getting in front of these CVPs, the sports commissions people, you know, it's been 80-20 success to failure. You know, you got to keep knocking on doors and keep hustling. That's what these anglers are going to have to do when they go out and gather up their sponsors. As far as behind, I mean, here's the great thing about the process that we've got. We've got 13 months until we put our first boat in the water. So we've given ourselves enough time to where if we did hit a speed bump that, you know, we can kind of work around that. As far as getting out the invites, the contract together, and the digital deck, excuse me, those have all kind of come out on target as far as when we were going to do this. We had mentioned that we were going to do it in middle of February. So here we are, and we're beginning that process. I would say we're ahead of the game as far as the invite list goes and calling all the anglers. It's just a matter of getting everything out there so they can start working their sponsors and their financiers and having discussions with their families.
All right, Al, I have to ask because I have been sticking up for the guys out west for a number of years now. Are you planning on making a West Coast stop?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
The second year we'll be out west. Excuse me, guys. I'm battling a cold. So we'll be out west, whether it's a Havasu, a Mead, Clear Lake, a Shasta, Delta, whatever it might be. We will be there in year two. We feel that that's a market out there that has kind of been ignored over the years. And it's only wise that we're the National Pro Fishing League that we head out west.
All right. I had to elaborate on it.
I hear you.
All right.
So do you have all 125 that you're going to contact, or is there still an opportunity for – you know, anglers of what, you know, happens this year, if they're like, man, I can't believe I missed that opportunity, is there still opportunity for new guys to get in, or you're pretty much set, it's just kind of going through your list of guys to get to your 125?
No, there, you know, there's a process there, like I said, that we're doing the 10 per month. There's definitely an opportunity if somebody wants to send a resume in, but we've got our list of 125 right now. We got probably on the applications and resumes, probably close to 300. That came out from the BFLs and the COSAs. But there's still an opportunity if they want to send in a resume to TNPFL.com. That's the email address there. But we have a list of 125 that are pretty hardcore that we're sending out invites to. There's always going to be some attrition, so we've got to have an alternate list. I mean, we don't expect 125 guys to get an invite and all accept. Would we like it? Absolutely. But we know that there's a process to where some guys might get the invite and then something comes up, whether they're moving, their job, family, et cetera, finances, whatever it might be. So there's still an opportunity for people to send in the resumes. Just go to our website.
All right, Al, one of the things that I've been vocal about over the years, and it's a model that's been duplicated in other individual sports, that a lot of these individual sports have had a tremendous amount of success. If for some reason that you don't get to 125. Let's say you get to 120. Have you thought about the possibility of having a PTQ, in other words, a Pro Tour qualifier, where you would have an event on a body of water, near the body of water that you are having the main event at, to where you might have five spots available for people to qualify for the main event? In other words, they pay $2,500 if they make it, then they have to pay another $2,500. If they don't, now you've created a second tournament to where you create opportunity to build your brand. But at the same time, you're leaving it open for those five opportunities for people, as long as they meet the criteria, to take part in your event. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so we've kicked that around with the ownership group. We're fairly confident. Like I said, we've got the 125 as far as the list goes, plus the alternates that we're sending out the invites. But there's always that problem that you might run into, or we'll say maybe we only have 123 or 120 or whatever it might be. So we've kicked around these qualifying tournaments to where, you know, say, for instance, if we have our first Bend, our first event at Sam Rayburn or Toledo Bend, to where we get into town there and we have a qualifier for five spots, in order to fill that field. Now, like I said, we're extremely confident we'll get the 125, but we're kicking around different things to have a plan B and a plan C just in case those things don't happen. Like I said, with the invite list, you could send out 125 invites. If we're looking at 10% attrition there, you know, you're looking basically at 12, 13 guys that don't accept. So we have to have an alternate plan there.
All right, Al, from a business perspective, do you think that you're going to be able to have a non-endemic really support this adventure? And what has it been like trying to position your professional league to non-endemic companies?
Yeah, the key for us are the non-endemics, those individuals that are not in the industry currently. And the sell to them for us is basically, hey, this is year one. Jump on board. It'll be a historic year in 2021. But they don't have to make that big time investment from their marketing or advertising budget to come on board with us, as far as whether it's a title sponsor, a host sponsor, an event sponsor, or whatever sponsorship it might be on the menu that we have there. So, you know, these individuals can kind of dip their toes in the water, see what type of data and analytics they get as far as viewership. I will send over to you guys later today, but one of the things that we have in our digital deck that we're sending out to the anglers that will also present to the endemics and non-endemics, we're going to have over 1,980 minutes of live streaming per event. Okay, so that entails 10 cameras in boats with anglers, two roaming boats with cameras on them at the fishery, whether it's spread out north and south or east or west. Of course, these anglers will be mic'd up. We'll have the live streaming, of course, at the launch. We'll have our round tables at the end of practice each day, plus at the end of competition each day from 7 to 8 at a local venue that we want to spotlight in the city or town. And then, of course, the camera tower there that'll be around, that'll be surrounded by fans for the trailer weigh-in. So the optics of how this thing will work with the trailer and the weigh-in is these anglers will be staged. They'll be sitting in the boat. One of our crew members will drive their rig up to the stage. If they've got some kicker fish in their live wells, you know, they'll throw those up in the air right there to the fans. It'll be right next to the boat, about a foot away. Slap hands with the fans, jump up on stage, weigh that bag, and then be interviewed off stage if they've got, you know, something that's big for that particular tournament. So we think the optics and what's consumable to the fans, not only on site, but also viewing live stream, will be very, very beneficial to the sponsors that come on board with us.
All right, Matt, that is a massive investment. And, and I know from an expense standpoint, I've been doing this a long time, and that is a huge, huge investment. But at the same time, it's a great way to get return from the investment that the companies that are supporting the anglers to position their brands along with positioning the brands that you have, Al.
Didn't Matt just win $1,000 down there at Grand Lake?
Yeah, he took – no. It was at Swebco. Some little – yeah.
Swebco.
Oh, he took those guys' money. He just showed up. And then the rest of the –
Was it 32 pounds?
But it was every fish counts format.
Okay, so here's the deal. We'll be sending you a digital sponsorship packet, Matt, and you take a look at the menu. Hey. You got a little bit of coin in your pocket as lawyer. Hey,
there's a venue request tab up here, and I've been considering Thunderbird. Dirty Bird? As filling out a venue request to have one at Thunderbird. Remember, Mark, I had that filled out. I said, hey, I said, if you're after limits, this isn't the lake for you. But if you want 1 to 2 fish and 6 inches of visibility, you need to come to Thunderbird. Yeah.
Hey, Al, on the instant feedback, a number of people want to know, have you contacted the 125 already?
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody we've contacted, and the reason that we've contacted them, let me take that back. We're still in the process of it. We're making phone calls today for the final ones.
All right.
But the reason that we're doing that is we want everybody to have the same starting time to gather up sponsors, talk to their families about this. So we'll be done with the list today.
All right. There you have it.
So where can we keep up? Obviously, the website, when all this stuff comes out, the Instagram, Facebook pages. It's just the National Professional Fishing League.com.
Yeah, TNPFL.com. TNPFL.com. So you don't have to type all that out. Facebook, Instagram, follow us there. And then, hey, you guys always can pick up the phone, call any of the ownership group with Matt and or with Paul Benson over at Cash and Rods, and then Brad and Michelle over at Omega and myself. Mm-hmm. We're always open.
Al, man, can't thank you enough for letting us be a part of this to announce the first 10 names. I'm intrigued. I'm going to, you know, stay in touch with you. I'm really, really intrigued to hopefully this thing will continue much success as you build toward 2021, man.
Well, listen, Jeffries and Matt, you guys need content. We're going to give you 7 weeks more of content in 2021 and then anything you want to talk about. So
it'll never be a not-a-live show. I like it a lot. All right, Al, man, best of luck to you, and we'll talk soon, man.
All right, y'all be good. Take care, Riley.
All right. There you have it, Al McCullough, and we're going to do something here. You guys go ahead and carry on a conversation. I'm going to get somebody lined up on the Sunline Hotline.
Okay. I thought that, you know, they've got a lot of great ideas. You know, obviously they've had a lot of input from a lot of different anglers. Mm-hmm. But the West Coast idea is great. So, I mean, they're trying to find niches that, you know, he's got some really great original ideas. Did you hear the part about talking about the round table after practice? So like in a setting, so it would be like going out here to Rudy's, right? Like say Rudy's is a sponsor of the event, and you sit around there with eight
some
or nine
local guys, some of your big name guys,
have some barbecue, and I think that's an awesome idea. So.
Yeah, absolutely. On the website, it's got kind of the details, and we've had Al on before. We also had Hunter Kenway, who I believe was one of the 10 that was in that list, kind of talking about it. But all 3 days. Fishing 3 days instead of just two. So I mean, you fish at that level, you and the one bass, the U.S. Open and stuff. It's a 3 day event too, where the full field fishes.
I believe the FLW series was that way originally when that still started.
Does that make a difference to you that you know you have 3 days as opposed to two to make the cut? I mean, do you think that's a big change?
The stronger angler that you are, the more you want to play. So the longer period of time that you have to play the game, the less luck's involved. Does that make sense?
Yep.
All right. We have Pete Glusick on the Sunline Hotline. Pete, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing okay. I've been watching the show all morning and, you know, really excited to talk to you guys. It's been a while since I've been on the show.
Yeah, you've been very busy. Obviously, all the stuff that you have going on with the Bass University. But, dude, when I saw this list and I saw your name on it, the first thing that popped into my mind was, why?
Yeah, I think it's a interesting question because I've been, you know, I haven't fished the top level tour, man. It's got to be getting on about 8 or 9 years. I don't know. And, you know, as I've devoted the last pretty much decade to building the Bass University and raising a family and, you know, I go back to this quote that I heard from Rick Klun that, you know, when he fishes a tournament, he feels like he's 29 years old. And I feel the same way. And I miss fishing. I really do. I see my future as, you know, as the Bass University expands and grows. I see me fishing more tournaments as I go forward. And you know, so I was super excited to, you know, get an opportunity. You know, Paul Benson reached out to me regarding this, and it was really interesting, and I'm excited about the opportunity to fish more, you know, as we go forward.
All right, man, I want you to be honest. You still got a lot of game left in you, Pete?
Some people think I've fallen through the cracks, but
very nice. I like it.
Dang it, Pete.
Hey, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but seriously, Pete, you've had a lot going on. You've been very successful in the business ventures that you've had. And now, you know, you fished a few opens. You had success in a couple of them. I wish you nothing but the best, but I want you to be honest. Do you think that you still have game left to compete at this level?
Well, you know, I can only measure by my tournaments that I've competed in, you know, in recent times. And, you know, I still think I'm a threat to win tournaments. And, you know, I've come real close. My most recent win was, back in 13. And since then, I've threatened and challenged to win in some opens. I haven't fished many of the FLWs recently. But yeah, I mean, I still feel the enthusiasm. I'm telling you right now, it still keeps me up at night. I you know, I'm thinking about patterns. I'm thinking about the tournament that I didn't win, what I could have done, you know, slight adjustments that I could have made. And I still get thrilled by that experience. So yeah, man, I'm 52 years old, Mark. Rick won, you know, when he was 70. I got 18 years left in me.
Very nice. Very nice. All right, what are your thoughts about the format?
You know, as far as weighing five fish? Or
Yeah, and, you know, six events all across the
triangle. Two in the spring, two in the summer, two in the fall, equally spread out.
Well, I got to, you know, the thing that excites me the most, and I miss this the most, is fall fishing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I first started fishing at the Bassmaster Top 100 100 years ago, we had fall tournaments, and it was honestly the strongest part of my game. And I love that. I love that possibility of being able to compete that time of year. And de-emphasizing the spring, you know, like getting, you know, spreading them out throughout. I love that concept. I think that suits me well. I love being able to weigh fish in. I think that part is exciting. I think it connects with the fans on site really well. So, you know, that part I'm really excited about to get that opportunity again. I miss scoring all those points and getting all those checks in the fall.
Very nice. All right. Matthew, anything? I don't know what you're looking at.
No, I'm looking at the payouts and the qualifying events
He's fixing to send in his entry fee.
No, the no entry fee. When are you gonna? I mean, are you fishing this thing for sure, Pete? Like, is this your deal? Do you have 13 months now, and you're kicking it off in the fall of 2021? Is it something that you're still working on? You putting a sponsor portfolio together? I mean, where do you stand now then?
Well, yeah, it's a great question, and I'm super excited to get the invitation, but I think a lot has to, you know, come into place, and Al said it well. You know, as anglers, we have to decide, you know, what's right for us with respect to the travel, our families, and mainly, you know, sponsorship opportunities that exist. I mean, those entry fees are a daunting task. You know, it's hard to accrue that in sponsorship, so we're going to have to get after that. I see this also, you know, as a possibly a platform for Bass University. As we grow, you know, it's important for us as a company to participate, be on site. You know, we've got Ike out there fishing, you know, on the BPT tour, and we've got Greg DePalma fishing in the Bassmaster Elites, and it'd be great. You know, it's a great platform for the Bass University to be everywhere. You know, we want to be talking to people that love the sport of fishing, whether they're beginners, experts, new to fishing, looking at new tournaments, you know, looking at this. It'd be a great opportunity for the Bass University. So, you know, I got a lot of work to do. I'm super excited, super appreciative. I made a top 10 list. freaking awesome.
Well, I mean, I don't think people realize you have almost $700,000 in career earnings and over 170 tournaments between BASS and FLW with about 15 top 10 finishes and 3-4 wins.
I, as an angler, was like, why is Mark asking him that if he thinks he can compete? Like, he's still young.
I did not that. What? The question was, does he still have game? I'm not saying that he never – he had game. I guess he still has game.
There's no
he
doubt.
He said he still has game.
There are places in this country that they want none of him.
2017, 6th place. 2015, 8th place. 2016, 18th place. 6th place, 2013.
I like Pete. I get the draw. I mean, I understand. And it's, you know, like I said, it's a $5,000 poker table to sit at. And there's a draw to that because the paybacks are worthwhile. But there are other things, just like Pete said. I very much enjoy the fall. I know there are other anglers that recently the tournament scenes tend to be around the spawn. They focus on the spawn. The move of the tournament schedule still just as it moves through the country tends to stay on the spawn. And there's other anglers that have other strengths, just like we were talking about John Cox, who's obviously strength is looking at him. Yeah. Guys like Pete, guys like James Watson, you know, every big trophy he has is in the fall.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be able to highlight that is just as important as highlighting the spring, and I totally get that.
Yeah.
If he does fish, you need to bring back that NASCAR jersey that I'm looking at right now, the old Rager with the checkered flag.
You still
on
have
it.
That, Pete? Pete, do you still have that jersey?
I do. It's sitting around here somewhere.
Yeah,
so
with, the,
great
with the tight tuck, looking good there.
Nice.
I wonder how old he is in that picture. It looks like he's 25.
No, that's 2007.
That's not that long ago, 13 years. Anyway, Pete, I want to ask you this. Since I have you on the phone, it's been a while since I've spoken with you. How is the Bass University Seminars going? How is the website going? Are you going to be at the Bassmaster Classic? Kind of fill the listeners in on what you got going on.
Yeah, it's been, you know, it's so busy, and it's great that it's so busy. We've been growing every year, and we have really the best subscribers in the world, and we work with the greatest teachers in the world, and we had some really great new instructors at Bass University this year. We were just out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, not too far from you, recently, and you know, but all of our seminars are available on bassu.tv. you can go and subscribe there and get all this great education, but we will definitely be at the Classic again this year.
All right, make sure you go by, see Pete, talk to him. A lot of great people in that booth.
There's always someone hanging out
there. Yeah, it's really cool to have all that access to so many guys that have been involved with the Bass University over the years. So, good stuff, man.
We're in like 13 countries now. We have subscriber students in 13 countries.
Wow.
And we keep growing. We have something really cool. I think you're going to like it. And it's called the Bass University Bucket List. And that is a show where we feature the top lakes in the country with some of the best anglers in the country. And we did Lake Chickamauga this year with Wesley Strader and Lake Champlain with Ike. And we had just an amazing time. We got some amazing interviews and, you know, teaching people how to fish those lakes, not just, you know, showcasing the fishing, but teaching people, you know, if they want that on their bucket list, how to go and catch fish there. So that's a new release for us coming soon after the Classic. So we're real excited about that.
All right, very cool. All right, Pete, man, we're going to let you go. Hey, real quick, I did think about you on Saturday because on Saturday I was doing the Oklahoma State Middle School Junior High Wrestling Championships. How's the grappling going on with your son, man?
Well, he had his most recent match was amazing. He was down by 6 points in the third period, tied the match up, and won in sudden victory overtime. We were really proud of him.
Nice. What weight class is he?
70 pounds.
70 pounds.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, those dudes are so freaking quick. It is unbelievable how those lower weight classes, the quickness, the speed, the agility, pretty cool to watch.
Well, I got to say, give a shout-out to wrestling. I know Brandon Polinick was
he was a grappler.
Was a two-time state champ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dion Hibden was as
Cliff
well.
Perch.
There was a lot of us. But the lessons, the mental toughness, all the things that you learn in the sport of wrestling, they truly helped me out in the competitive world of fishing. I credit it for helping me get into the winner's circle without a doubt. It's a tough sport, but, man, it teaches you some of the best lessons in the world.
Dude, I think that first tournament, you need to show up in a supplemented singlet.
Oh.
There you have it, right there. Pete Glusick representing in the singlet.
Orange and blue, baby.
Just fishing in orange and blue singlet all year. Could you imagine that? He gets the live stream camera.
Oh, man. You want to make news? There you have it, Pete. I'm throwing ideas out there at you, man. Great stuff.
I believe that would break the internet, I believe.
Oh, gosh. All right, Pete, man. Great talking to you. Don't forget, you got Ike Live, too, man.
Yeah, we got Ike Live. We're going to be down broadcasting Ike Live from the Classic and Bass University Live. We actually have a Bass University Live this Sunday night at 7 p.m.
All right.
Go check it out. We got John Cruz. We're going to be talking about the big tournament just went down in Florida.
Very nice. All right, Pete, man. Take care. Always good to talk to you. I'll talk to you soon, man.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. See you. There you have it. Pete Glusick. And, singlet. You ever put on a singlet, Bradley?
Nope.
You know what he has put on, though?
Yep. Everybody knows about that. Yep.
Might have needed a singlet, that little adventure that you had. Anyway. Wow. All right. Hey, several people on the instant feedback, Bradley. Does this thing interest you?
Yeah.
It'll
definitely be something that I would, you know, it came out. Look, guys, we've all got so much on our plates right now, but is it something interesting? 110%. Is it something that I've looked into? Yes, it is. Have I sent a resume in? No, I have not. It's not that I don't want to, or that I have a family. I have four kids, and I only have so much time, right? Like we all do, and we kind of have to pick and choose what we want to do. So I definitely think it has some great upsides to it.
All right, man. They're asking for it. We talked a little bit about it before the show. They're asking about it on the instant feedback. Any comments, Matthew, on the Adrian Avena situation?
It's not a situation. It's just he caught a four something yesterday at You Fall in the BPT. Mm-hmm. Knew how tough that bite was, and if you leave the boat, it's a 3-minute penalty. So he opted to leave the boat to try to get this fish out of a brush pile, and I guess he was able to tickle the top of the brush pile with his toes, and then the fish came out, and all of a sudden he was noodling it, and then boom, he got it, and he got back in the boat, and he was pretty pumped. So a
lot of drama.
It is a lot of drama. And, I mean, it's everywhere on social media.
Yeah.
If you're looking to...
We talked about this earlier before we came on air. We all have, at this table, have different opinions of...
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. We have different opinions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mark thinks that...
It's a safety issue.
Yeah.
And it's a representation of what youth and young anglers might interpret what's right, what's wrong. I mean, is there a right? Is there a wrong? No. I mean, he didn't break any rules or anything. He got a penalty. And, Brad, you made a great point about some of the other stuff that takes place in society, of which people are out there and they're duplicating being stupid and crazy and all that and everything. So, I don't know. It was drama.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big a deal. I mean, I definitely have had fish hooked up that I wished I could have left the boat for, no doubt, and would have.
I don't really have an opinion. Was it entertaining? Yes.
Yeah.
Is it getting views on social media? Yes.
Yeah.
Is it generating discussion?
Yes.
So whether you're a purist of the sport who's like, yeah, really, that's not the way things should be done, or whether you're someone who's like, dude, he jumped in the water and he got it with his toes and then he wrestled it and you're sharing it like...
Yeah,
I mean, that's what they're trying to do. They've said from the beginning they're trying to generate interest, expand, make it exciting, new. So that's what that did.
Yeah. No,
I mean, the same thing. Remember, Jeff Crete jumped in before. It just wasn't a national tour. It was just when it was the Cups.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had guys dive in around docks and stuff. This isn't the first time that they've done it. It's just first time in February in 50-degree water that they've done
with
it.
A lot of current. Kind of crazy,
but
I give it up to him, man.
Yeah,
that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do, I guess. All right, I want to thank Al McCullough for taking time out. Pete Glusick, also there at the last minute. Bradley, sitting in studio. You're welcome anytime you want. Back on Monday. I'm still working on getting some stuff lined up there, Matthew. All right. So everybody check out the website for our guest next week. And we are working toward the Bassmaster Classic, dude. It's not too far away.
Not 3.5 weeks out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that yesterday. It is getting here quick.
Yeah, very quick.
You going to be there?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to give us a list so people can come.
Okay.
Say hi to you.
Yeah.
You have quite the fan base now, Bradley.
We're working on it. It's growing, yeah. It's a lot of fun being on here with you guys. We've been doing a lot of things, you know. Yeah. I mean, with Castledine and some other stuff we've been doing with YouTube.
You'd have never done this 3 years ago.
No way.
We even talked
about
it.
Didn't want a camera.
Admit that we even talked about it.
Wouldn't want to have a headset on.
Did. Yep.
Now he's editing his own stuff.
That's
he's got
awesome,
a selfie
man.
Stick.
Yeah.
His own YouTube channel.
Mr. Vegas
he's
over
killing
there.
It. Yep.
All right,
he's
great stuff.
It.
All right, everybody, be safe. Try to get out a little bit. Stay warm. That's it. We're back on Monday. We're out of here.